Here's my second set of threes. And I'm telling you, if you get this trio of triplets down, you'll be able to grasp how to approach at least a study of prophecy. Keep your finger marked here in Ezekiel and go back to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, I know that 1 Corinthians 10 is not a prophetic passage of Scripture. It's a great study, 1 Corinthians 10. It's talking about Paul relating to a very carnal church. Everything is lawful for me, but everything is not expedient for me. I understand what Paul is teaching here in 1 Corinthians 10. What I want to do is take a text. Now, I'm going to take it out of context just for a moment. It's not going to be a pretext. It will not disprove what I'm saying, but it will lay a foundation down for us to approach our study of prophecy. The first foundation stone would be three events in the future: the rapture, the revelation, and the retribution, and then eternity future. Now, look at verse 32 of chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians. Paul, in his message to the people at Corinth, that everything was lawful for him, everything not expedient, but here's why he said that. Because I'll give none offense neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles nor to the church of God. What he lays down, 1 Corinthians 10:32, is that there are three members of the human family. He lays them out there in that verse. There are Gentiles, there are Jews, and the church of God, I'll refer to them as Christians. And I'll use the word in its proper meaning. By the way, words have meanings. I'm going to use words with their proper meaning. I'm not going to try to use some word that you might think has some other kind of a meaning. Words have meanings, and I'm going to try to use proper words. Christian, and I say Christian, I'm talking about true Bible-believing, born-again Christian, blood-bought, and that is a believer who's going to be with Christ forever and ever. And so there are three strands of the human family: Gentiles, Jews, and Christians. Let me give you a little bit of information. In the first 2,000 years of human history, there were only Gentiles on the face of the earth. God, when he created Adam and Eve, they were Gentiles. The word in Hebrew is goy or goyim, and it's first used in Genesis chapter 10. Look back there just a moment. Genesis chapter 10, very first time the word Gentiles is used, verse 5. He's talking about now the genealogies of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah after the flood. Notice verse 5, by these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands. And so for the first 2,000 years, that's from Genesis chapter 1 to Genesis chapter 11, there were only Gentiles upon the face of the earth. You say, well, those are believers back there, some of them. Yes, Seth was a believer, chapter 4 of Genesis. And in the days of Seth, men started to call upon the Lord. And you cannot call upon the Lord unless the message has been presented. And how can the message be presented unless one goes? So Seth was a great preacher, and men started to call upon the name of the Lord. But he was not a Christian. He was a Gentile believer. Enoch was an outstanding preacher. Look at the book of Jude. Preached about the coming of the Messiah. But he was not a Christian. He was a believing Gentile. Noah preached 120 years before the flood came. He was a great preacher. He was a great believer in Christ. He believed. God called that to bring him to a position to be used in a mighty way. But he was not a Christian. He was a Gentile believer. And so it's important we understand that. There are no Christians in the first 12 chapters of the book of Genesis. All you have is Gentiles. Gentiles, some believing, some lost. Now, in chapter 12 of the book of Genesis, we see the second 2,000-year period of time starting to unfold. And God reached into Ur of the Chaldees, and he finds a man, and he brings him up over the Fertile Crescent, modern-day Syria, down the Rift Valley, which extends from Syria to Kenya in the south, which is the Jordan Valley when you come into Canaan or modern-day Israel. He brings this man Abram, whose name was ultimately changed to Abraham. And he brings him into the land, and he's going to establish another member of the human family. In fact, Abraham was first referred to as a Hebrew. Look at chapter 14 of the book of Genesis, chapter 14 and verse 13. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew. And so he's first referred to as a Hebrew. His grandson, Jacob, was the first one to be referred to as Israel, 32nd chapter of the book of Genesis. And his great-grandson, Judah, was the first one to be called a Jew, 2 Kings chapter 16. And so it is that we see the establishment of the second strand in the human family, Jews. You have Gentiles for the first 2,000 years, and then starting in Genesis 12 and going over to Acts chapter 1, you have Gentiles and the second strand, Jews, come into existence. I love to use opportunity evangelism. And what I do is I just simply wait for an opportunity to come along in a conversation, and I go right to Jesus. Now, if it doesn't come, I make the opportunity. And I was sitting on a boat on the Sea of Galilee. It was called the Jesus boat, a replica of the boat that Jesus would have been in, floating on the Sea of Galilee during his time on earth. And there was a Jewish mama. Now, I don't know what you conjure up in your mind when I say Jewish mama, but this was the typical Jewish mama. If you would have looked in a dictionary for the word Jewish mama, her picture would have been there. I'm telling you, she was it. And, rather robust and lovely and joyful and everything else. And all of a sudden, she had heard me, sitting in my quiet way there, and it was driving her crazy. And so she looked up and she said, "I don't know what's wrong with you Christians." I said, "What do you mean, ma'am?" She said, "Don't you know the first Christian was a Jew?" I said, "That's right. That's good. I like that. Oh, that's great. I'm going to get." And she was so proud. She just was sitting back basking in her pride, And I was letting her enjoy it a little bit. Everything kind of quieted down. I looked over at her. "I don't know what's wrong with you Jews." She said, "What do you mean, son?" I said, "Don't you know the first Jew was a Gentile?" "He was? How did that happen?" "So glad you asked me, ma'am." Took her to the word, see? Abram was a Gentile. God brought him into the land that he's going to give to Abraham and his descendants through Isaac and Jacob, the Jewish people. And he establishes a special people unto himself. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy, not because they were going to be obedient, not because they were going to be loving, not because they were going to honor him. In fact, they were going to be hard-headed, hard-hearted, and stiff-necked. Ezekiel is told that, by the way. We'll look at it tonight. But I want you to know, because he loved them, he selected the fewest people on all the earth, Deuteronomy 32:8, and surrounded the world around these people in the city of Jerusalem, the center of the earth, Ezekiel 5:5. He does it for a special purpose. And so you have the second strand of the human family, Gentiles and Jews. You notice where I said it was? From Genesis chapter 12 to Acts chapter 1. Genesis 12 to Acts 1. Listen, folks, in Acts 1, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there are no Christians. Did you hear me? There are no Christians in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts 1. Those who are believing Gentiles are believing Jews. Christians don't come into effect until Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, when we are baptized in the body of Christ and sealed. And they were first called Christians in Antioch, Acts chapter 13. So there are no Christians. Now that's key if you're going to understand prophecy. Because in Matthew chapter 24, a very prophetic passage of Scripture, there are not Christians there. Thus, he's not talking about the rapture of the church in Matthew chapter 24. He's talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. So if you start putting the rapture over in Matthew 24, you're going to become totally discombobulated in your understanding of Bible prophecy. Thus, we have to understand this principle. Gentiles and Jews all the way to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 2, The church I told you was formed, and now we have the third strand of the human family, Gentiles, Jews, and Christian. In the last 2,000-year period of time, the third 2,000-year period of time. And so we now have divided humankind into three parts. We have the three events, the rapture, the revelation, the retribution. We have the three members of the human family, Gentiles, Jews, and Christians.